Thank you very much. And Dominic, our last news story for today, what have you got for us?
Well, moving back to a very much smaller scale, a pair of papers in this week's issue of the journal Science present some of the first results from the Genesis spacecraft. Now, this was a mission launched in 2001, and its purpose was to sample material from the outer layers of the Sun. Now, obviously, actually picking up material from the surface of the Sun is very difficult, so it was going to do the next best thing in collecting particles from the solar wind, which is ejected by that surface of the Sun, and trying to infer back what the composition of the material that produces the solar wind is. Now, the way it did that was to have an array of silicon carbide wafers, which are similar to the kind of wafers you would use to produce computer chips, and it pointed those towards the Sun. It exposed them to solar wind, and as particles collided with these wafers, they stuck into the wafers. And then the idea was you could close up the spacecraft, bring it back to the Earth, and then you could analyse those wafers and see what particles had stuck to them, and from that work out what the solar wind's composition is. Now, this mission didn't quite go to plan. It worked until the last step of bringing these wafers back to the Earth. The idea was that parachutes would deploy to give these wafers a very soft landing in the Utah desert. Unfortunately, those parachutes did not deploy, and so this spacecraft slammed into the desert at about 90 metres per second. And the wafers were mostly broken, and many of them were contaminated with desert material. And there was some fear at the time that perhaps this was the end of the Genesis mission. But over the past 7 years, people have been working to try and recover data from the fragments of this spacecraft. And one of the things they've been able to do, these solar wind particles that collided with these silicon wafers collided at tremendous velocity. And that means that they actually stuck deep down inside these wafers, whereas the particles that stuck to the wafers during the collision with the desert collided at much lower velocity and are mostly just on the surface. So one thing you can do is just clean off the top 20 nanometers of these wafers and then look at what you have beneath, and you know that's probably genuine solar wind material. It's taken a long time, but the results that we see presented this week are that the abundances of different isotopes of oxygen and nitrogen in the Sun appear to be quite different by about 7% to what we see on the Earth and all the other terrestrial planets. Now, isotopes, of course, are different forms of chemical elements with different numbers of neutrons in each atom. So, for example, oxygen exists in the oxygen 16 state that we're used to, but also an oxygen 18 state. Now, it's very surprising that you would see different isotopic abundances in different places in the solar system, because very few processes selectively change the abundances of different elements. Chemically, they react in more or less the same way. Radioactivity is one way that you can change isotopes, but these are not radioactive species. There's no radioactive decays between these states. If we think the surface of the Sun is pristine material from the solar nebula that eventually formed the solar system, which we do because the fusion is all in the core of the Sun and is very badly mixed with the outer layers that are essentially radioactively inert, then it seems some process must have changed the abundance of different isotopes in the terrestrial planets. And perhaps this was some chemical reaction that selectively reacted with one isotope as compared to another. We don't know of such a chemical process at the moment. But if these results are correct, it suggests that there must be some really very important chemical reaction which is taking place on planet-wide scales on all of the terrestrial planets, which is binding up this oxygen 16 to mean that we see a much higher factor of oxygen 18 in the planets as compared to oxygen 16, and likewise for nitrogen 14 versus 15.
Thank you, Dominic. And if you'd like to follow up on any of this month's stories, you can find references on our website, along with all of the previous Naked Astronomy podcasts, at thenakedscientists.com/astronomy.